Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
So I'm super excited for the message I want to share for the next 2 weeks, maybe three, we'll see. But we had an amazing camp. Who enjoyed the camp last weekend? Sure, it was awesome, eh? We'll have one again next year, don't worry. The feeling was that we must do it definitely more often, more than once or twice a year, maybe even three or four times, so we'll see. But at the camp, the Lord, in preparation for the camp, the Lord just gave me a vision again, which I shared with the people on Saturday morning, that God has really called us to make disciple makers. Amen. So our focus for next year is making disciple makers. So tell someone next to you, making disciple makers. So it's never changed. God has called us to Shofar to make disciple makers. And Sureka is an example of someone who came in here not really sure who Jesus fully was and the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the gospel, and leaving here with the ability to lead people to Christ. Isn't that awesome? And that's my purpose in life, is if I can have someone leave our church after even 1 year being able to disciple others and lead others to Christ, then I'm fulfilled. That's what I live for, is to make disciple makers. To raise up people who will take the gospel and take the fullness of Christ wherever they go. But I want to say this morning or this afternoon that it's a true joy to make disciples. Amen. Who believes it's a joy? Because we were at the River of Joy, and it was significant that we were at the campsite called the River of Joy, because the River of Joy is Jesus Himself. He is the ultimate River of Joy. And He wants to give us joy. It's God wants us to be a people of joy. Can I have an amen? Amen. And he spoke that word over us at the pastor's meeting, that God wants us to be a people of joy. The word came for us as Bloemfontein Shofar specifically. God wants us to be a people of joy. So the word joy stands as follows. This is the Alistair Kingwell interpretation. Jesus owns you. Write that down if you want to. J-O-Y. Jesus owns you. Amen, Janita. You see, your life is not your own. It's not what we always want to hear. Because we want to be in control. We don't want to step fully into that river. Or we want to step into the river a little bit because, you know, the Spirit is amazing. So we want to have a bit of an experience of the Spirit. And maybe waist deep, you know, it's awesome. But we don't want to fully surrender everything to Jesus. Because we're still all control freaks. But I want to say today, it's a joy to follow Jesus. There is joy in following Jesus, and I believe He wants to release it over you again today and in the weeks to come, before the end of the year, that you can be full of joy for next year. Amen. That you can have a joy in following Jesus and ultimately leading others to follow Jesus as well. Because that's what disciple making is. It's just leading someone else to follow Jesus. Following Jesus, but also encouraging others to follow Jesus. You see, it's a joy to know Jesus, to follow Him, to become like Him, and to do His will. That's the greatest joy that life has to offer. No, nothing else can satisfy, nothing else can give as much joy as it is to know Him, to follow Him, to become like Him, and then to lead others to Him. But why do we often lose our joy? Anyone here lose your joy sometimes? Especially in this year. I mean, I don't know about you, I've lost my joy of the Lord a couple of times this year, you know. Everything, it's like battle upon battle, you know. And the Lord challenged me to, why do we lose our joy? Why do we allow our joy to be stolen so easily? I mean, I'm challenged by it, because like, do we find our joy in circumstances, in people, in stuff? Or do we find our joy in Jesus, primarily? I believe we forget what true joy is and how it is derived. And that's what I want to share with you, just a few points, and we'll carry on next week, because I just started to write down a few things here and just carried on and on, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is not one sermon. This is a couple of sermons. So why do we lose our joy? We don't really know fully what joy is and where it comes from. Jesus Himself, here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says the following. The writer of Hebrews encourages us to look to Jesus. And he says, look to Jesus. He's talking about faith in chapter 11, and then he starts chapter 12 and he says, let us lay aside every sin, let us lay aside all the stuff that ensnares us, entangles us, trips us up. Let us lay out all of this stuff and let us look unto Jesus. Or he first says, let us run with endurance. You can read verse 1 of chapter 12. It's like one of my favorite chapters, or I mean verses in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But so verse 1 says, let us lay aside everything. And then he said, let us run this race of endurance. Any long distance runner will love the scripture because it's an endurance race. The race of life is a long distance race. But he says that there's a way that you're going to run this endurance. There's a way that you can that you're going to finish this race, and that is if you number two, verse two, look unto Jesus. Amen. So look unto Jesus in this time. Tell someone next to you, look unto Jesus. And we say we're looking unto Jesus, but let's really look unto Jesus. Amen. Let's really look unto Him. Because why? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 11 just talks about this amazing chapter of faith, and where these, all these awesome guys have done awesome stuff, and there's like, and then the Bible says here in chapter 12, you're not going to do this faith thing without Jesus, amen, without looking unto Him, without knowing Him and following Him. Because why? He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He has started something in you and He will complete the good work in you. Isn't that good news today? The good work that He started in Soraka, He won't finish because she's leaving Shofar Bloemfontein. No, Jesus is so much greater than our church. He's so much greater than any church. He's ultimately the author and the finisher of every faith, of every person's faith. And so He will complete the good work He started in you. But it says here, it says, who for the joy that was set before Him. Say, joy that was set before Him. Jesus had the greatest joy set before Him, and that was to do the will of His Father by saving the world, by going to the cross, suffering and dying for the sins of the world. There was a joy that was set before Him, but it came at a price. It was quite a price to pay. But He went through with it. And it says He endured the cross, despised the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, where He is to this day busy interceding for us right now. Isn't that amazing? So keep looking unto Jesus. Why? Because there was a joy that was set before Him. But He says here, He says, we need to follow Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. We need to continue to follow Him, continue to look to Him all our lives. Otherwise, that joy will die if we don't keep looking to Jesus. Because why? There's lots of other things to look to. Isn't that so? And especially in this month of November, there's like Black Friday specials, and there's all sorts of adverts being pushed in your face, like, look unto this. There's a freebie here, there's a cheapie here, there's a 50% off here. Look unto this for your joy. Isn't that so? I mean, we find joy in buying things. It's not wrong. But are we finding our ultimate joy in what we have and what we can receive and what we can experience in the flesh and in our minds? Or is it the ultimate joy to know Jesus? So I want to ask you this afternoon, what joy is set before you? What joy is set before you? Is there a joy that has been set before you? And I believe it's Jesus Himself, but it's also the will of God for your life. God has called you to follow Him and to cause others to follow Him. So number one, why do we lose our joy? First thing why we lose our joy that is set before us is the most amazing joy that was established in our lives, and that was the joy when we first met Jesus. John chapter 8 says the following. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The first joy that I believe we often forget is that joy of our eternal life, the joy of being born again, the joy of our salvation. Can use many words for it. But I call it here the joy of having eternal life. Having that ticket to heaven where you know it's not only a ticket for one day, in fact it's a ticket for now. It's eternal life starts on this earth and it never stops. Isn't that amazing? Death cannot stop it. It's not just life for this life, and it's not just life for one day, it's life. It's eternal life. It starts now. You see, Jesus is the light. He's not a light, He's the light. Jesus is not just a light, he's the light of the world. And when you follow him, friends, I want to tell you, you will always be in the light. When you follow him, you'll always be in the light. Isn't that amazing? There's a light versus darkness that is happening, and the darkness is covering the earth like it's just hectic, isn't it? Darkness is coming. Darkness is, there's more darkness now than there was a while ago. Seems like the darkness is increasing, but Jesus promised, he says, if you have my light, if you know me and you follow me, you're never going to walk in darkness. Is that good news for someone here this afternoon? The good news of your salvation, the joy of your eternal life that Jesus bought for you. You see, light here refers to seeing ahead. Light refers to having revelation. Light refers to knowing his ways and having assurance of his ways. It's not just about making a decision, it's about knowing that you know that you know that your life is in Jesus' hands. That you're born again. Isn't that great news? That is the best news ever. Life is a journey and you're always going to be moving. But many times we do move in the dark, you see. But let's never forget the joy of our eternal life. And I want to say the greatest joy is having everlasting life. But not only having it, having assurance of it. Being confident that you have that eternal life. And I want to say sometimes if we, the best way to be reminded of your eternal life and your salvation and the fact that you're born again is to spend time with someone who isn't. Just spend time a little bit with sinners in the world, okay? Not to judge them. But I want to challenge us. I really want to challenge us. This holiday, don't run away from the world. Don't be so close, because it's a great opportunity. You're not going to be in shofar every Sunday necessarily, because first of all, there might not be church that Sunday. But you might be on holiday somewhere, there maybe won't be a church. Don't run. Don't just run to church and run to church people. Go and spend time with the sinners in the world. Not to get influenced by them. So please don't go on your own. If you're a bit shaky and you could lose your salvation, then get an accountability partner, okay? Because the world does influence us and the temptation. But I'm just encouraging us to get out there and spend time with someone who's not born again. And thank the Lord that you're not there. And have compassion and have that desire, Lord. First of all, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. And then, Lord, sure, this person doesn't know life. So I really want to encourage us, go and pray before and spend time in this holiday. Don't just veg and do nothing. Go and spend time, not Bible bash, nothing. Just watch the sinners and sin. And thank the Lord that you're not there. Thank the Lord for your eternal life. Thank the Lord that you're born again, that you're saved from where you could have been if you were not in Jesus' arms. Amen. Just go spend some time and be reminded, first of all, of the joy of your own salvation, the joy of eternal life. Yeah, Habakkuk 3, verse 17 and 18 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, anyone had that this year? Though there may be no fruit on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. It's like this guy's at the worst of the worst. He says, though everything else is taken away from me, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Father, are you rejoicing in the Lord? I will join the God of my salvation. 2020 has exposed a little bit of our joy or lack of joy. And it has exposed our true joy and possibly our lack thereof. And it's not a bad thing. That's why we must look back at this year and say, sure, you know, where did I find my joy? Did I find my joy in the Lord who has not changed? He was not shaken by this. By everything that happened. Because it felt like there was like onslaught upon onslaught. And the Lord was like, I'm allowing this. Because I want to show you where your true joy is. And you see, we sing sometimes that song that I think Angus Buchan sings a song, you know, take the world, but give me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. And we sing that song and we in church and everything's fine and we're excited and we're take the world, take everything, you know, take all away from me, but give me Jesus. And then some things get taken away. And then are you still going to sing? Carry on, Lord. Take everything away like Job. And we wonder why we get upset so easily. Are you content with Jesus alone? Truly, are you content with Jesus alone? Are you content with eternal life alone? Where nothing else of this world is necessarily added. All the, you know, because sometimes we serve Jesus for the benefits, you know, because we know He gives life in abundance, and He does. He truly wants to bless us, but you know, we follow the blessings instead of the blessor many times. But are you truly content and we have the joy of that salvation where everything else is stripped away and you still say, Lord, I love you. You're number one. You're the joy of my life. So that's why we lose our joy many times. So I'm just challenging all of us to come back to the joy of our salvation again this afternoon. Amen. The joy of simply knowing Jesus as our first love. And then secondly, there's another joy that we can experience when we start to follow Jesus. And he says here in John chapter 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Say, hey, Scarpy. Tell someone next to you, Scarpy, me too. You're the sheep of the great shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Jesus said, I know them. And I can tell you today, Jesus knows you. Even though you don't know him, he knows you. He knows you. And guess what he said that day? Follow me. Those who know me and know my voice, follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I want to ask you, when last did you hear the voice of the great shepherd? When last did you hear his voice? And I want to ask you also, what is Jesus saying to you from his word? Because that's the best way to hear his voice. It's not to have some spooky thing out there. Yes, you can hear the voice through the Holy Spirit, and that is a great way to hear the voice. But if it's not rooted in the Word of God, it's not necessarily the voice of God, because there's a lot of Spirit speaking. So what is Jesus saying to you from his Word? And even from this Word, he's saying to you, I love you, you're one of the sheep of my pasture. I love you, follow me. He's asking you to follow him. And he's promising you today, out of this very scripture, he's never going to allow anything to snatch you from his hand. Isn't that an amazing promise? No fear will snatch you, no rejection will snatch you, no failure, no nothing can snatch you from the love of God, nothing in this world. And I want to ask you, do you receive these promises by believing them? Because the only way you can receive the promises of God, not just read the Bible, it's really believing it, taking it as if he spoke directly to you through whichever writer of the Old and New Testament. Take that word and receive it. That night when we were here, when the guy came in to rob this church, it was just like, I was so encouraged again by the fact that God spoke to me. He said, it's going to be fine. You hear that still small voice. And I want to say today that this church, I believe it was a prophetic thing that God wanted to confirm in this church. Yeah, in this church we can hear the voice of God and he will speak. Amen. Every other lie that says you can't hear God's voice in this church, or it's difficult, or you need worship, or five songs, or you need to suck yourself up or lie on the floor. No, it's none of that stuff. You can hear God's voice. And not only when you're in this church, when you leave this church, you can hear God's voice. All the time. So if there's anything blocking you from hearing God's voice, then tell that thing to leave your life now, because God is saying to you, you can hear his voice. But it is important that you do your part to read his word. Because God is not into quick fix stuff. God is not just into simple stuff. He's into a journey of walking with his word, hearing his word, knowing his word. And when you're in that tough time, then God will say, it's going to be fine. I'm with you. I said in your word, nothing shall by any means snatch you out of my hand. It's a promise. But there's a joy in hearing God's voice, friends. There's a joy in knowing his voice. And even right now, I just want to give a few seconds. I just want to be quiet and I want you to close your eyes. I want you right now to hear what God is saying to you, because there's a joy that will come from it. For some of you, saying, stop striving, just relax. Just let go. Some of you, he's confirming what you must do, what decision you must make, where you must go. But practice this every day, guys. We're living a life of such busyness, finding joy in being busy sometimes, finding joy in running around. The greatest joy is just being in the peace of God, amen, and hearing His voice. My sheep hear my voice. God says there's not any joy in hearing His voice, but there's joy in being in His presence. Anyone know Psalm 16 verse 11? It says the following. It says, you will show me the path of life. Another promise that you can hold on to. God's going to show you the path of life, boots. He's going to confirm stuff, Neil, in your life. He's going to show you guys. Fabian, Alfonso there at the back. You can't hide from God. I'm joking. You guys are awesome. You serve so amazingly. Yeah, sure. But even there at the back, you're doing so much stuff, and God's going to speak to you guys. God's going to speak to you guys serving. Johan, thanks for the hospitality again. Yes, you're amazing. You guys are awesome. And come here excited. But I want to say, even those who are running around doing a lot of stuff, you need to hear God's voice. Otherwise, we're just making a noise, like 1 Corinthians 13 says. We're just a clanging cymbal. If we don't have that love and we don't have that presence of God in our lives. And the scripture is amazing. I found out for the first time as I was preparing, this is what the scripture really means. At your right hand, are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know what the psalm is writing about? David is writing here about Jesus going to hell. And coming back from hell, read verse 10. It says, you will not leave me in hell. So the psalm is applicable to someone who's coming back from the path of death into life, the resurrection path of death to life. And that's all of us. All of us were born in sin. All of us were born to die. The path of life means the path back to life, the resurrection from the dead, and ultimately to heaven. That's where Jesus went. He came back from death into life. And David writes, he says, you will not leave me in hell. You will take me back to earth and then to heaven. You will take me back to life. You see, life is a journey, and the path that we walk from death to life with Jesus it's a path that we need to, that we need Him with us all the time. Otherwise, we're going to stray. We're going to lose our joy. And that's what the writer says. For Jesus, it's a joyful time because he's overcome death, he's overcome the grave itself, and he's come back to life. But for us, it's the journey of sanctification, the journey of salvation, where Jesus takes us from death into life and into His presence. Isn't that amazing? The when it says here, His presence, it refers to before His face. It refers to intimacy. There's joy in intimacy, seeing His face. And Jesus could see the Father's face again. He was restored back to life again. He had intimacy, and there was fullness of joy. And the fullness here means it's not half joy. It's not intermingled with the pain or even the happiness that this world has to offer. It's fullness of joy. It's that heavenly, that perfect joy, which we don't have right now. We do have intermingled joy. We have joy, but then we also have happiness. Then we have pain and sadness. And one day we're going to have fullness of joy, but even for now we can have the joy of the Lord, amen. And that joy in His presence where nothing else matters, where all pain and suffering, even for a moment, just go away. That's the joy Jesus wants to have with us, guys. It's so exciting. I trust some of you are excited for this. And to pursue joy more and more, to pursue Christ more and more. And then it refers to His right hand here. It refers to a place of honor and dignity. That's the place God wants to put us at in His presence. The place of honor and dignity where He actually honors us, we're His children. And He gives us the right and the authority, and He gives us so much stuff. But it comes from His presence. It's the joy of knowing His voice and knowing His presence. And sometimes we lose our joy. Why? Because we lose that connection with God, because we're so busy being present everywhere else. We're not present with God. And then the last one, I'm going to finish with this one, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to carry on next week. So come back next week again for some more. Because we're going to get to the whole thing of disciple making. We're just building up to the fact that you, if you know this joy, The joy of your salvation, the joy of the sanctification process, the presence of God in your life, the Holy Spirit in your life. Then you are going to flow out into others. But then the third one here is the joy of becoming like Him, the joy of laying down your life. These things I've spoken to you, Jesus says to His disciples. He says, I've spoken this to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Say, your joy may be full. Again, a fullness of joy. I see a fullness of joy that Jesus wants for us, God. Isn't that amazing? The Bible is full of joy. Amen. The Bible is full of truth, full of His Word. So He says that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, He says, that you love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, there's an example here. How should we love one another? Not as we love, or as we try to love, or as we've been loved before, as Jesus has loved us. Most of us don't know true love because our parents are imperfect. As godly and as amazing as they were, they cannot give us love like Jesus gives us. But I want you to receive my love, and I believe God in this time, guys, He wants to pour out more of His love into you. Not the world's love and not people's love primarily. Even though we're a loving church like Sureka shared, and we must continue with that because it's God's thing. But God wants to pour out His love in your heart personally. And He wants to show you how much He loves you, but He's going to show you through this church. He's going to show you through His believers, through His body, definitely. And then He says, this love that I've loved you with, that is how you must go and love other people. And then He ends off with this, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ demonstrated that on the cross. And He said to the disciples, He washed their feet just before this passage of Scripture, He washed their feet, and He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to lay down your life for one another. See, it's the joy of becoming like Him, the joy of growing into His image and denying our selfish desires. This is challenging, guys. And many people are walking away from this. Why? Because it's easy to have a relationship with Jesus personally. We can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can have His intimacy and His presence. But this is where it gets a bit messy. And if you don't have the first two, this is impossible. If you don't have the joy of your salvation, if you don't stand fast in who Jesus is in your life and His Spirit, His presence, then to love someone else is going to be messy and you're going to get hurt and you could walk away from Jesus here. Because this is where it gets tough. This is where the body comes in. I just want to honor you guys for being here today. I want to honor you for serving in this church, for loving people in this church, for having grace with us as leaders. Just following God. I believe you're obedient. But many people are walking away from laying down their lives for other people. Why? Because it is hurtful. Relationships are messy. People walk away from you. People hurt you. They stab you in the back. You think, yes, I've laid down my life for this person. And people walk away. But I want to say, stick with what Jesus is doing. Amen. Stick with what He's doing in your life in order that you lay down your life for your friends. The joy of making disciple makers, living for the cause of Christ, to see the world change, to see disciples made, to see people change into the image of God is what He's called us to be. And so I want to say, trust the Lord to start to serve one another. There's needs in this place right now. Even right now, there's needs. There's maybe big needs. We don't know. But I want you right at the end, as a bit of homework, even right now, while we're drinking coffee, just ask the person, too. Don't just say, hello, how are you? Let's have a, you know, be all excited. That's also good. But say, can I meet the need for you this week? Can I just pray for you first of all, but can I maybe bring you food? Are you struggling to make food? Are you struggling with, you know, can I just bless you in some way? How can I be a little bit uncomfortable this week for someone else's comfort to bless someone else? How can I be less selfish and less self-focused? And how can I, and it's practical, guys, because we're all spiritual. Oh, we lay down our lives for each other. One day I'll die for the gospel. That's not that. That's not what he's calling us to do. He's calling us just to serve one another. Because we can't die for someone if we can't even bring someone else a plate of food. How are we going to die for someone? It's a step too far. So let's lay down our lives for one another, because it's a joy to serve. It's a joy to be selfless, not selfish. Stop being a fish, man. Stop being selfish. Yeah. Be selfless. Lay down your life for someone else. And I want to challenge us. Let's be practical. Let's today leave this place thinking, yes, I spoke to Tessa. Yes, she's got a bit of a challenge this week. How can I pray for her? How can I bless her? How can I just find out at least, is it going okay? Because hey, we, you know, we church people. It's all, you know, I'm too blessed to be stressed, you know. The other night in our connect group, we were like talking about, like, you know, how we can fake it, you know. There's Martel, that thing that you gave was awesome. Paul himself, which was good. It's amazing. We started last week. The real gospel. How we can fake it so many times. I'm so amazing, you know, it's, God is so good, I'm awesome, you know. It's like, God is good, and I'm also awesome, I'm so blessed, I'm amazing, I can handle my life, you know. But we're not always wrong, we're not always okay. Sometimes things are going wrong. So who's going to know if we don't ask each other? We don't really want to have love for one another, that the world will be drawn to this love. The world doesn't need fake love, the world needs real love, the love of Christ. Love of laying down our lives for each other. So I want to end off with one thing that steals our joy. And that is the comparison to other people. When Esther and I were in Artenbos, we were just after the robbery happened, we took some time off and went away. It was so amazing. We spent time with a friend of ours who was in this church, his mom. She was in the ministry. Her husband's died now, but she was in the ministry. And she, in the kitchen, she stepped up to my wife and she says to her this thing. She said, you know what steals what I've learned? She's now 60 years old, I think, about there. Lots of experience in the ministry, been hurt, had her husband die, had her daughter almost commit suicide. She's been through tough times. She said, the thing that steals our joy the most is comparison with other people. Hello, Nathan and Taylor. Welcome back. Just when it rains like this, I just know God is up to something. Last Sunday was as well. Isn't it awesome? But what steals our joy is comparison to other people. Instead of loving others, instead of serving others, instead of laying down our lives with others, either we look at other people and we say, yes, I'm either better than that person, or I'm inferior to that person. We compare ourselves and either we feel better or we feel worse. And guess what that does? We do nothing. Just go sit down. So instead of loving and serving people, we compete with them and we try to justify our own existence. And we look at other people and we try to justify the fact that we are okay and all of that. Instead of just saying, you know what? I'm going to lay down my life for that. I'm either going to serve that person, lift them up, and also I'm going to encourage them for what they're doing. Just say, yes, you're doing amazing. You're so successful, well done. Instead of trying to feel sorry for yourself, I'm not that successful. I'm more successful than that person. So. And the focus again is self. Self, 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 instead of looking at others and not encouraging them and boosting them even more, saying, come on, I lift you up, I want to. You can do it. You can be the better than you are. In comparison with other people, instead of just asking God to just show you how amazing you are, He saved you. You've got eternal life, you've got salvation. You can hear His voice, you're one of the sheep of His pasture. It's enough to establish your identity in Christ. So I want us to, the band can come forward again. We're going to end off in this awesome storm, and let's just praise God for the rain. Yeah. It's like we had so little rain and now we're having like amazing rain. Yeah, I was in the Eastern Free State this weekend and it's just so green there. The whole of the Free State is blessed, guys. Amen. Because we serve a God who's good. God is doing something awesome. The weather is speaking of the goodness of God. Lord, please don't let it flood. Lord, we pray for those people who don't have a hope now, who don't have shelter, sure. But I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to ask the Lord to restore to you the joy, like David prayed, of your eternal life, the joy of your salvation. And then the joy of knowing His voice, knowing His presence. And that is between you and the Lord, it's between you and the Spirit, it's between you and Jesus. The first one, the joy of your eternal life, whose job is that? That's Jesus' job. So connect with Jesus. Say, Jesus, thank you that you've given me life. You are the Savior. Give me eternal life again. Restore to me the joy of when I first met you. Jesus, connect us again, Lord. The second one is the Holy Spirit's job. The voice of God on this earth, the presence of God on this earth is the Holy Spirit, guys. We'll talk about it next year lots more. But the Holy Spirit, connect with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, I want to say, come forward, Lord, I pray for you that you get filled with the presence of God and the voice of God will be clear to you. Amen? And you guys still here? Sure, Lord. Rain down, let it rain. But rain your Spirit, Lord. Rain your Spirit more than just the physical one. So the second thing, guys, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to connect us with the presence of God and the voice of God. And the third job is your job. With the power of the Spirit, with the help of Jesus Christ and the Father, lay down your life for someone else. And stay connected with the body. Don't stay isolated. Don't stay on your own, because you're not going to lay down your life for someone else if you're isolated. If you're all on your own. Connect with community, connect with the body of Christ. Discipleship is three things: the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. So let's pray. Father, we just bless you for this amazing sense of your presence.